John chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you may too have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this Wednesday morning. We thank you for another chance to come together and just worship you, Lord. We just a chance to hear your word, Lord. We just ask that your truth will come through today, Lord. I just ask that your spirit will just guide and direct, Father God, and that we will just hear with our ears what you have to say to us today, Lord. And we just humble myself before you, Lord, to just preach your word. In your name we pray. Amen. So as I was preparing for this today, I did a little bit of background on the book of 1 John. And I really like the book of 1 John. I don't know actually when this really truly began, but I think it started when my brother was preaching a sermon series, and I just happened to be home for it, so I think it's the first sermon series I could actually sit in the sanctuary without him laughing with me in the room, and so I think it has some special meaning behind that as well. But just to give you some information, the book of 1 John, we traditionally say that John wrote it, for obvious reasons. It's named John. But a lot of scholars say it may not be John himself. It doesn't really matter. We know that God inspired the book. It also doesn't, like most of the letters, you'll notice it has an intended audience, and this book does not, which I think is actually really important because it can be written to anybody at any time. It's not written to a direct people with a direct situation per se. And so it's to us. It was mostly addressing the issue of Gnosticism, and that is this idea that God is an impersonal God. And during that time, they were starting to say that Jesus was a good man, but his message was about self-redemption, not about his redemption for you. And so they started to say things like, man needs only to look at their inner self to find knowledge to free themselves. So they didn't see Jesus as God. They just saw Jesus as a way to direct themselves to themselves. And by themselves, they could save themselves. Which, as we see in Jeremiah 17:9, this goes against the truth, which in Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is more deceitful than anything else. Right? And so when we look at scripture, automatically, when we look at ourselves to save ourselves, we know that's just not true. They were also calling into the question of Jesus being the Son of God, the deity of Jesus, and the humanity of God. And I just think often when we think about God, how often do we do that, right? We see him as this good God, or Jesus was this good man. Jesus did all these miracles, but do we truly believe that he is who he says he is? Now, I think most of us in this room are not going to question that Jesus is God, that he is the Son of God, that Jesus is who he is, in that he was human and that he was Lord. But maybe there's other things in our lives that we come into question of who God is, who Jesus is, right? And Gnostics come in and they say things like, well, he's not really God, he's just a good man. Or we know lots of people who say that Jesus was just a good man, right? Other religions will say that Jesus was a good man, but he wasn't God. But what are the things in our life that when we look at scripture or we look at ourselves, we don't fully believe that Jesus is who he says he is, in the sense of he says that he keeps his promises, right? How many of us look in the word of God and we doubt that God keeps his promises to us, his people, right? And I mean, we look at the Israelites, they wandered for 40 years in the desert. They were in captivity in Egypt for 400 years. They were in Babylon for, I think it was 400 years, some period of time. And I wonder how many times they questioned if God would keep his promises, right? He promised Abraham the promised land, right? Did they doubt that God was a promise keeper? And just think in your own life, areas that you are struggling to trust God in, right? And I think maybe one of them, and it's because we've been talking about it and we're in the season, is that God will answer prayer. You know, last night in house church, we were talking about when you pray for healing, how do you pray, right? How do you pray when you're praying for someone to be healed? And, you know, each of us in house church had someone we had prayed for to be healed who wasn't healed and passed away. And how do we decide when we stop praying for healing and we start praying for someone to go home? And someone said, you know, we should always pray with the confidence of God's healing, right? And he was saying how his, and he came from a more traditional church, and his friend from church's mother was charismatic. And she was just like, no, you have to always pray in faith that God's going to bring healing. And we're just talking about how, well, do we have that actual faith that God will be healing here? And these are the questions that go in our mind when we think about when we trust who God is. Do we trust in the word who he says he is? And we came to the conclusion, no grand conclusion, but we talked about in the end how when we do pray for things, that's why it also said, let your will be done. And it's not a give up, allow things just to happen, but it's just that God's will is greater than our will. God's will is better than our will, and to hold on to that truth, that his will is better for us. I actually want to read this in the message as well. So I'm just going to read to you guys how Eugene Peterson talks about 1 John 1 through 4. What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God. I'm reading the wrong one. Sorry, hold on. I must have tapped it over a few times. From the very first day we were there talking, taking it all in, we heard it with our own ears, saw it with our own eyes, verified it with our own hands. The word of life appeared right before our eyes. We saw it happen. And now we're telling you in the most sober way that we witnessed was incredibly this. The infinite life of God himself took shape before us. We saw it, we heard it, and now we're telling you so you can experience it along with us. This experience of communion with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, our motive for writing this is simple. We want you to enjoy this too. Your joy will double our joy. All right, so I'm just going to break this down into four things. John is telling us that he wants to share what he has experienced, right? And so the rest of the book of John is going to address Gnosticism. It's going to address this doubt of who God is. It's going to address all these issues. But this intro to who the rest of this book, John is simply saying, I want to share what I've experienced. I want to share what I've seen. I want to share what I have walked. How many of you have done that? Shared your experience with God? Oftentimes, I'm the first to say we can't do everything based on experience and feeling, and we can't just chase after experiences with God. We need to know the truth. We need to read his word, and we need to be solid in it. But here John is actually saying, hey, I'm going to tell you what I've experienced. I'm going to tell you what God has done in my life, and I saw it with my own eyes. I saw these things that I want to share with you so you too can have it. How often are we willing to tell people our experiences with God, or are we too afraid to? Right? And even Christians themselves, because he's actually writing to people who say they believe in things about God. They didn't know the truth about God. They didn't believe the truth about him, but they said they knew God. They weren't unbelievers in the sense they knew nothing about Jesus. Right? How often do we share experiences with each other? But how often are we sharing our experiences and saying, I, instead of God, 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 God? You know, some of the things I've realized with some of my friends is that oftentimes when they're sharing their testimony, which is amazing to do, it turns into a story about themselves, which is good. But oftentimes God is an endpoint. It's just the tagline at the end. Oh, but this is what God did, right? Instead of, you know, I was struggling, but God was there. Or God did that, you know, revealing the truth of who God is through your personal story. And the second thing is, Jesus himself was God, and he came to us. And I think that's, we take that for granted, right? Like, I grew up in a Christian home. I took for granted that Jesus was God. I didn't have to think twice about that. But there's something incredibly mind-blowing when you think about the fact that Jesus was God, is God, came in flesh to earth. And I think oftentimes in our faith, we forget the amazingness of that. We forget the amazingness that Jesus, God himself, was willing to come to earth, gave up perfection. He suffered, he endured, he was fully human, which means he went through human emotions. He dealt with them better than we did, or we do. He experienced pain. He probably as a child fell and scraped his knee, right? He experienced loss. He experienced rejection. No other God has done that for their people. And we often forget, not that we forget that, but we forget that. We forget this amazingness of God, that he came in the flesh. He gave up heaven to meet with us. You know, I'm sure many of you have seen the illustration or have heard the illustration of a goldfish, right, in the jar. And you can, I mean, not that if you become a goldfish, you're going to change a goldfish, but if you look at a goldfish in a jar and you try to teach it something, right, and you tap on the glass, you try to train it to go left, right, it's not going to work, right? A goldfish will never follow. Their memory is, what, 10 seconds, right? And so the illustration goes on that Jesus becomes, we become a goldfish. We transport ourselves into the jar and then we lead by showing. We don't do that, right? We just like, it's just a goldfish. But God becomes, he doesn't become a goldfish. He becomes human, but he comes into our world to show us the way. And I might, as I was reading this last night in preparing, it just really struck me again how our God is so good that he would come to live with us in an imperfect world as a perfect God. Number three, he wants them to join the experience, right? He wants them. He talks about coming into communion with God the Father and God the Son, right? He wants us to fully grasp what that relationship is like and to be intimate with God. To know the truth is that we can be relational, right? Gnostics believe that God was an impersonal God, right? Yeah, there may have been a God, but he was impersonal. He kind of just set the world spinning, like, here's the globe, spin it on your finger, let things happen as they happen. But John is trying to remind them this is not true. This is not true at all. In fact, he is not like that in any way, shape, or form, and he wants a personal relationship with you, and you can have that. You can have that to the fullest with him. And so he was inviting them, reminding them, hey, join what I know. Join this relationship with God. Be intimate with him. And the fourth one, and this is where I really want to spend a little bit of time, is he wanted people to have the joy he had. And he was like, I want your joy to be double my joy. I don't want you just to have what I have. I want it to flow out of you. I don't know about you, but oftentimes I'm not the most joyful person, especially in the morning. But when you're sharing your experiences with people about God, are you doing it with joy? Right? And joy doesn't have to be bubbly. Joy doesn't have to be like giddy, right? Joy has to be just, I don't even know always what joy looks like. But when you're sharing these things with people, when you're sharing who God is, and when you're sharing, even looking back at yourself, do you have this joy in you that can only be explained by God? Right? It can only be explained by God. I've shared this many times. I used to be a teacher in Hong Kong, but I actually have not gone back to the school that I taught at since I moved to take this job. So when I first came back, I was gone for 6 months. I came back. I went to the school for like once, and then that same year I went for graduation, but I hadn't gone back. And they moved campuses. They're in a new location. And Mallory Steele and I, who are good friends, she was in the hospital giving birth. And so I was her son's babysitter. So I had to go to the school and pick up Levi. I was a little apprehensive because I hadn't been there in a while. I was going to see people who didn't even know. It turned out a lot of them didn't know I was still in Hong Kong. I'm not really sure how that is possible. But I walked in, and time after time, people were like, there's something different about you. I wanted to be like, well, I like my job. But even my former students, when they come to SP, they look at me, they're like, there's something different about you. I can't truly explain what fully that difference is. I was a Christian at the school. I went to SP at that time. I was in leadership at SP. I had great relationships here. I had great relationships at the school. But something in the last 3 years, I've changed, and I can't explain it. Right? I mean, my joke to them is, oh, I like my job, right? I mean, that's the only major difference in my life, right? And they're not even talking to me. It's like they see me there, something's different. Every time, like, they come into the building, they run into me, there's something different about you, and I can't explain it. The only thing I can say is it has to be something God is doing in my life. Because I'm still in the same city, most of my friends are still the same people, right? And I think this is, when we have that kind of joy, when people see that something is different in you, especially if you are away from your family or friends for a while, and you return, and they see that you're not a better person, like, you know, in that sense, but you're different in a good way, right? And John is saying, look, when you come to God, when you have a relationship with God, when you're intimate with God, there's going to be this joy that overflows that maybe you can't explain, and my goal and my dream is that it's more than what I have. Right? And if this is the John, the Apostle John, we know that he refers to himself as a disciple that God loved. Right? It wasn't that he was saying Jesus didn't love the other disciples, but he knew his place. He knew that Jesus loved him, and he declared it. And he's saying, I want you to have more than I do. Right? And so today, I want you to have more than I do. I want you to have a more intimate relationship with God than I do. I want you to have more joy than I do. I want people today to look at you and say, more than I had in the last week, there's something different about you. And so we can just go to God and ask him, what is it that's stopping me from having this joy? You know, I'm going to ask P. Andrew to come up. But really go to God and say, God, what is the things in my life that are stopping me from having true joy in you? Is it me questioning your true identity? Is it me questioning the truths of you? Is it disappointments in life? Is it sin in my life? And just really go before God and ask him to show you. You know, David said, search my heart. God, search my heart. Try me. See if there's anything unrighteous, anything impure, any sin in my life. I'm paraphrasing. But go before God and ask him to search your heart. Show you the things that are stopping you from having this true joy that even you can't fully grasp. You know where it comes from, but you just don't know how you can have it because it's just beyond your understanding. So just go before God and talk with him and spend time with him this morning.
Offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life. Lord, I offer my life to you. Everything I've been through, use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life. Lord, I offer you my life.
Father, we just come before you and we offer you our life. God, everything, the good, the bad, we give it to you, Lord, to heal, to change, to mold, to shape. God, we give you our life, Lord, to use, to guide, Lord. And we just humble ourselves before you today, Lord, declaring that you are God and we are not. God, that you are God and we are your children, and we just follow you, God. So, Lord, we just thank you for this chance to be reminded of that. We can turn to our first slide. Let's pray for those in our community suffering from cancer, those who are going through chemo and radiation therapy and surgery. And let's just pray for God's healing hand in their lives. Let's also pray for their families, that they will just be just supported and loved, and that they will just feel God's presence as well. Let's pray for those in our community, their family, their friends who are suffering from different illnesses but also need salvation. Let's pray that God will just show up in their lives, that he will show them who he is, and that they can come into community with him. Let's pray for people who are going through other, suffering from other various infirmities. Let's pray for God's healing hand in their life. Let's just pray that God will bring healing into their bodies. Let's pray for those in our community who are looking for jobs. Let's pray that God will bring them to the right job at the right time, that they will they just walk in faith knowing that God has already prepared for them the perfect job. Turn to our community focus, our mission focus. Let's pray for China. Let's pray for SP Beijing, Pi Hunsu, the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark, and the churches of China. Let's just pray that God will really just be at work and also protecting our brothers and sisters across the border. Let's pray for the board, Pisam, Kiwan, Brian, Sandro, Max, Jackie, Connie, and Monica, who's our secretary. Let's just pray that God will use them to make wise decisions, that God will speak to each of them clearly, that they'll be united, and that God will just, just bless them as well as they faithfully serve this church. Pray for our different fellowship ministries. We have our young adults, we have our men's and women in our springs. Let's really lift up Love After Marriage. There are retreats coming up in 2 weekends, women's retreat, which is coming in 3 weekends, men's retreat in 4, and then actually Yahweh has their retreat at the beginning of December. So let's just pray that God will reach everyone in our church through these various ministries and these retreats. Pray for their speakers. Pray that everyone will be able to attend, and just that God, His faithfulness will just continually be revealed. Now let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for our new building that we're still praying for, resources, benefactor, vision fund, and that God will just bring it at the exact time that He has planned, that nothing will get in the way, and that we will just be faithfully stewarding our resources here in this building as well as we wait for the new one to come. Let's lift up our house churches meeting tonight. Blue Pool, Cimbria, Causeway Bay, East Enders, House to House, Island, Lido, Lion Rock, New Conduit, Robin Hood, and TST. Let's just pray that everyone who meets there tonight, that everyone will be able to make it. We'll really just have a good time fellowshipping with each other and talking about prayer. Just that they can also just have a good session of praying for one another as well, and just lift up their leaders as well. Let's finally lift up our mission trip to Mongolia. Been hearing a little bit from Sally, and it's just they've had having an amazing trip. Just God really showing up everywhere they've been going. And so they've been praying for all these. They're the praying team is what the organization has called them. So just pray that God will really just reveal to them the right words to the right people at the right time. And just really continue to protect them while they're there, and they return on Sunday. So let's just keep lifting them up. Father God, we just thank you for this chance to come before you, Lord. We thank you for you just being a really good father, a good dad, Lord. We just thank you for the truth in your word, Lord, that we can hold on to knowing who you are. God, we thank you that you don't change, that we don't have to worry about you being something, you saying you're one thing and you end up being a different thing, God, that you are true, that your word is true, your character does not change. And that you love us, God. And so we just thank you, Lord, so much for that, Lord. I ask that you will just be with each and every one of us today as we go about our daily lives, Lord, that you'll just guide each of our steps, Lord, as in each of our encounters, God. And I just pray that everyone here will just overflow with the joy that you have, God, that the joy that's in us will be your joy, God, and that it will just overflow out of us today, God. And that I just pray, Lord, that Yeah, that you will just set us free from anything that's holding us back. So Lord, we just thank you and we love you. We just give you all the praise. In your name we pray. Amen. Just have a great day and just continue the rest of your prayer time.